Number one, the goal of your life and my life is to look like Jesus, not the world, period. And we're not going to win the world by being like the world. We're going to win the world by being like Jesus. Like, that biblical truth is still true. Now, can we have contextualization? Amen. Can we meet the culture in certain areas and do certain things? Yes, but never compromise the truth in the goal of reaching them for Jesus. Because if you compromise the truth in the midst of leading them to the truth, you're going to lead them away from the truth.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch of This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. We're excited about today's program because we believe that when God's Word is faithfully and fearlessly proclaimed, that it will never return void. Oh, what a glorious thought that is for our hearts and our souls and our minds today. As the enemy just pummels us with one relentless lie after another, we know that greater is He that's within us than he that's in the world. We rest in the truth of God's Word that says that since God is for us, who can be against us? You know, so many people are struggling today, and perhaps that's you listening right now. Oh, I pray that you'll be greatly encouraged, challenged, and inspired to live for Jesus like never before. And so let's take our Bibles together right now. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, looking at verses 15 through 16, as we listen to the first part of the message entitled, What's Holding You Back?
Father, we come before you, and to say that you're awesome wouldn't even begin to describe you. You're mighty. You're glorious. So God, we just want to pray a simple prayer out of the gate. God, help us right at this moment, each one individually, myself at the top of the list. God, I pray that we would just abandon and renounce anything in our lives at this very moment that is just jockeying for first place. God, I pray we'd lay every idol on the altar right now. I pray that we would begin to live what we just sang. And so, God, would you do a great work in this place? I know you can do it. And so, do the work in my heart first. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And so, God, as you speak, I pray that you'd move me out of the way. I pray you'd hide me behind the shadows of the cross. I pray you'd give me your words, not mine. And God, I pray we'd leave here with a renewed sense of purpose. I pray we'd leave here on mission for your mission. I pray we'd be intentional, we'd be urgent, we'd be desperate, we'd be broken. Oh God, you can only, and you alone can only, do that work. And so to you be the praise, to you be the glory, and we pray this in the mighty and the matchless name of King Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Take that Bible and let's turn to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and as you're turning there, I wanted to expound for just a moment on that thought of students leading, youth leading. You know, one of my passions is revival, is awakening in the American home, in the American church. We need it like never before. I think you'd have to live under a rock to deny it. I mean, you see what's unfolding before our eyes in our culture today. You see that darkness is trying to continue to dominate the day, and yet we know that the light of the gospel always overcomes the darkness. Amen? We know this, that greater is He that's within us than he that's in the world. We know that since our God is for us, who can be against us? And yet in the midst of that truth, darkness is attempting to rule our day. And yet we know that the light doesn't shine the brightest where it's the brightest, but where it's the darkest. Amen? And so we want to, today, I pray, think through revival and awakening, because when you think of that, students led in the majority of the revivals and awakenings. If you go back and study, you see college-age students, you see business people that were on the front line waving the banner of the gospel. And so we need everyone in this room, regardless of occupation, to be on the front lines waving the gospel banner. Amen? And I believe Paul, I believe as he gloriously writes to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here in Ephesians, I think we're going to see a rallying cry. I think we're going to see a clarion call that he is imputing to us, if you will, transferring to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would no longer be casual Christians. That we would no longer come to sit and soak, but we would be engaged, that we would be determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I guess the question we could ask today, and it wasn't planned, but I love how God connects dots, don't you? I guess I could ask you and I could ask myself this one simple question, because we just sang it. And the question is this: what's holding you back? No, really. What's holding you back? What's standing in the way of Jesus really being Lord of your life? As all the kingdoms are next to Him, all of our kingdoms, we pile up next to Jesus, don't we? We pile them all up. And we even say this unwittingly: Jesus, go bless my kingdoms. Jesus is not in the blessing of my kingdom business. He's in the blessing of His kingdom business. And when you begin to understand that, when I begin to understand that, it rocks our world. It turns our world upside down, and we become like those disciples. Are these they? Are these they that turned the world upside down for Jesus? That's why this springboard thought I want to give you today is simply this. My life and your life, whether you like it or not, is a walking billboard for Jesus. Let me say that again. My life and your life, whether we like it or not, is a walking billboard for Jesus. Let me add one more phrase onto that statement. The opposite is equally true. We are either billboarding for Jesus or we're billboarding for the enemy. What's holding you back? What in your life today is that idol right now by the power of the Holy Spirit that is illuminating in your heart and your mind that you know this is what's holding me back? It's the one thing that is just there, and I can't seem to shake it, and I can't seem to get rid of it, but it's holding me back from Jesus having all of me, having every area in my life. I've given Him the keys to most of the rooms in my life. I just haven't given Him the keys to all of the rooms in my life. What's holding you back? What idols, I guess I could say, need to be rooted out today in my life and your life right now? Like right now. Don't wait till the Bucks game. Don't wait till later on. Don't wait till tomorrow. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. Life is here today and gone tomorrow. It's like a vapor. We need to seize the day, church family. We need to become a church. We need to become a unified, universal church all throughout this community that says we are going to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people who need to hear it, and if it costs us everything, so be it. And all God's people should have said, amen. We do what we want to do, don't we? I've learned that about myself. I will crawl over glass to go do what I want to do. What's holding you back? What held Paul back? What held Paul back? Do we know? Well, on that Damascus road, he had that intimate encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the scales were removed. What was holding them back got removed. They fell from the eyes and the heart and the mind, and they were removed. See, Jesus is the only one that can remove what's holding you back. What's holding you back today? Ephesians chapter 5 says this, and the title of the message is simply this. I encourage you to write it down on your notes. The title of the message is Redeeming the Time, with an addendum that I just added, hyphen, what's holding you back? Redeeming the time, hyphen, what's holding you back? Actually, put it down like this. Redeeming the time, hyphen, what's holding me back? In your notes, put, what's holding me back? Do an introspection today as the Word of God is unpacked and it's brought forth. Ask you. Don't ask your neighbor, your wife, your husband, your children. Ask you. I'll ask me, what's holding me back? Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 8 through 16, just focusing on 15 and 16. And I'm actually using the New King James translation. So if you don't have your copy with you, I'll give you a few moments to go out in the car and get yours. Here it is. Verse 8 of 5, Paul writes this prison epistle. For you were once darkness. Don't miss that. But now you are light in the Lord. Don't miss that. Amen? Walk as children of light. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Very key phrase there. Verse 11. Very potent admonition. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is even shameful to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. Praise God. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, don't miss 14, he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, verse 15. Here's our two verses for today. In light of what was just said, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
Paul writes this prison epistle, and he's in a struggle. He's going through much heartache, much pain, as we know when you study this imprisonment. And he's in the center of God's will. Don't ever miss that. I think we skip over that. You know, we go, Paul, first imprisonment, second imprisonment, must have been tough, poor guy. Don't forget this. He is in the center of God's will, and he's in prison. I know the arguments, house arrest, full imprisonment, first imprisonment, second. We're not going to go into all that. Look, the bottom line is, he's not a free man according to man, but he's a free man according to Jesus. Amen? See, so many people, even inside the church house across America today, think they're free in Christ, but they're living in a self-imposed prison. They're walking around on a Sunday morning, and you guys know how this works, don't you? I know how this works. Man, we get in the car, you families, I guess they have little ones, and we argue all the way to the church house, don't we? We are arguing. And then we pop out. Yeah, I see people over here. They're laughing because they're going, yeah. And we argue all the way to the church house, and we pull in the parking lot, and we open that door, and there's our deacon buddy getting out of his car, and we just shout, "Praise be to thy great God." Yeah, his body's a death or something else, aren't they? Aren't you glad that God makes a message out of a mess? Praise God, amen. I'd be in a whole heap of trouble if he didn't make the message out of the mess. Praise God, he makes the message out of the mess by his power. And Paul is a living example, and he's imploring the church there in Ephesus. He says, look, you were once in darkness. This is past tense. He's saying that's no longer you. That's no longer you. That's old man, old woman. Now you got new man, new woman on the scene. You were once. Oh, church family today, what's holding you back right now? Are you still walking in darkness? You were once in this darkness, but now you're in the light, he says. He says, have no fellowship with the darkness. Expose it. Bring it to the light. We're going to talk about that today, that when you bring your darkness, when I bring my darkness, and we all have it. We all got a dark, depraved, wicked side to us. That's how this thing is wired. And it's there. And it hungers and thirsts not for the things of the Lord. It hungers and thirsts for the things of the flesh. And that's why we got to bring every thought captive. And we got to be intentional. We got to be urgent. This thing just doesn't work itself out just naturally. We got to run into the presence of Jesus every day, all day long. You were once in darkness, he's telling them. He's telling us, you were once. That's gone. The old has passed away, and all things have become new in Christ Jesus. Through the royal, righteous blood of Jesus, all things have become new. What's holding you back? He says, awake in verse 14, and then he rolls into this glorious text here. And he says, see then in this translation. I picked this because it's a great transition. He's saying, see then. In other words, he's saying this, look out. He's saying, be on your guard. Listen up is what he's saying. Listen up. Take heed. Take heed. Take heed. Guard against, guard against, guard against. I know this from my own brokenness, that if I am not sober and vigilant, because the devil, my adversary, not my buddy, prowls around, not like a harmless kitty, but as a roaring lion seeking that he might devour me, if I am not sober and vigilant, clear-minded is what that means in the Greek. If I'm not clear-minded and focusing on the things of the Lord, if I'm not dialed in, if I'm not intentional, I will drive over a spiritual cliff in a heartbeat and sometimes not even realize it. This walking with Christ is all about intentionality. Good intentions typically don't lead to the feet of Jesus. What's holding you back? See then, take heed. Paul is, by the way, he's not giving a suggestion here. This is an admonition. See then, in light of that you were once in darkness, in light of that you were walking in that filthiness and that wickedness, but now you've been made new, make sure, see then, take heed, guard against. And this is just not, because we're good at this, aren't we? We're good at, we got two categories, don't we? We got like the big sins, and because we don't commit adultery, and because we don't murder, and we don't rob banks, we begin to justify the other column, which is called our little sins, right? And so we got gossip over there that's kind of like hidden under a prayer request. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah. It's joy to float that one around, isn't it? As we're praying for so-and-so, right? Well, when you read the scriptures, gossip is wickedness. Attitudes of the heart, bitterness, that's wicked. Unforgiveness. It's not only wicked, but the Lord shows us that when we don't do that, he won't forgive us. There aren't two categories of sin. There's one big sheet of sin, isn't there? Are there varying consequences according to our sin? Amen, amen. But the consequence of eternal damnation and separation from the great God of the Bible. Sin is sin. And Paul says, look, detest it. Don't cohabitate with it. Don't keep it in a cage and, you know, hide the secret sin. And then you bring it out when you're ready to use it. You bring out Fido. You know, and you start petting Fido, right? He's secret sin. I hope no one has a dog named Fido. That's going to be a really weird going home for lunch today to see Fido, isn't it? You're petting Fido. Hey, good little boy. Good little boy. Good little boy. And then you're done with your sin, and you put him back in the cage until you're ready again. See, Paul says, see then, be on your guard. Be tenacious. John Owen, the great Puritan, said, be killing sin or it be killing you. Sin is nothing to toy around with. That old phrase that will take you farther than you ever wanted to go, keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay, and will require a price far greater than you ever wanted to pay. Sin is deep, toxic, and unholy. That's why he says next, walk worthy. Is he talking about going down to the Y and getting on the treadmill? How many people like going to the Y? Raise your hand. Any Y lovers here? Let's see, one, two. We got five people that are saved. Praise Jesus, praise Jesus. All right, praise Jesus. Man, look at you guys. Look at the smile on the Y lovers. They're just smiling this morning. They've exercised. They're going good, aren't they? What's it mean to walk? Is that what he's talking about, walking? No, you know, it's conducting one's life. He says, see then, be on your guard. Be on your guard that you're conducting your life in this manner. Why would he say that? Well, he says this, you were once in darkness. And he knows his flesh. If you go to Romans 6 and 7, good grief. Here's the great Apostle Paul, not perfect, but he was great, wasn't he? Why do I do the things I don't want to do? Who will deliver me from this body of death? See then to you that we walk circumspectly. This, what it means there is literally cautiously. Some translations say carefully, that we're on this guard. He's really unpacking this in a deep, profound way. He could have just said, be on your guard, period. No, he says, see then, be on your guard. This is how I want you to walk, by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it, but he can do it through you. Walk, live, conduct your life in this manner, cautiously. In everything, cautiously. That's hard to do, though, isn't it? In the American dream, man, we typically just run ahead of God. We abandon all caution, and it's kind of like, God, can you go back and clean up that mess? Here's what I've learned in my own brokenness, is that God is not my personal amusement park attendant who cleans up my trash behind me as I willingly disobey him. That's not his role. See then, Paul says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, unwise, but as wise, cultivated, learned. Not wise per se that you're some Greek Hellenist. No, he's talking about in the Word, walking spiritually according to Christ, the new man. Walk in that way. That's why in your notes, I want you to write this down. I only got two keys today, so praise Jesus. Amen. All the Sunday school teachers said, amen. All right, praise Jesus. Key number one, write this down. I must intentionally guard against the foolishness of the world that desires to infiltrate my life and hold it hostage. Let me say that again. Key number one. I must intentionally guard, see then, take heed, guard against the foolishness of the world that desires to infiltrate covertly, unwittingly, we don't even know it many times, my life and hold it hostage. Man, this is so key. Man, the enemy is so crafty, isn't he? He is so crafty. He is so deceiving, and he knows your chink in your armor. He knows my chink in my armor. And he's going to try to get in there every time and pound us and pound us and pound us. If we do not bring that out and say, look, I'm not going to keep it buried any longer, but I'm going to expose it. I'm going to expose it as Paul gave us that admonition in the early part of this text here. Expose it. Expose it. Because when we expose it, it no longer has the power. Like if you're struggling today and you struggle with gossip, the great thing you can do starting today is to bring that sin into the light. Because sin hates the light. Jesus said that men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are wicked or evil. That's why you see what goes on in our country. I mean, it's getting worse. Sometimes now you see it in the middle of the day, but typically when do you see the overt wickedness taking place? It's at nighttime, in the dark. When do we typically sin? Now there's a whole bunch of people around, right? Hey, I'm going to stand up in front of everyone and sin. No, it's in the darkness, in isolation. No, but we bring it into the light and it loses its power. So many people, I was just preaching at a men's retreat this past Friday night, and we talked about that with our men, that bring it to the light, bring it to the light. Yes, it's going to be painful. Yes, it's going to hurt, but you'll finally have freedom. I have no fellowship with the darkness, the wickedness, but expose it. Three quick things here under key number one that just support this thought. Number one, the goal of your life and my life is to look like Jesus, not the world, period. And we're not going to win the world by being like the world. We're going to win the world by being like Jesus. Like that biblical truth is still true. Now, can we have contextualization? Amen. Can we meet the culture in certain areas and do certain things? Yes, but never compromise the truth in the goal of reaching them for Jesus. Because if you compromise the truth in the midst of leading them to the truth, you're going to lead them away from the truth.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. That's info@thisdayministries.org. Or you can write us at This Day Ministries, P.O. Box 7267, Brandon, Florida 33508. That's This Day Ministries, P.O. Box 7267, Brandon, Florida 33508. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.